Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
And now.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
And welcome back to another edition of Crusader Talk. Glad to have you with us on this Monday or Tuesday, whatever day of the week you may be listening to us in podcast form. My name is Caleb Hamill, joined by Josh West. Dalton Stanford is the man behind the board, working for us here in our Super Talk Hattiesburg studio. Talking all things William Carey Athletics, as we do every single Monday night. And today's show is brought to you by the word kudos, because we've got a lot of that to hand out across the board when it comes to William Carey sports this past week. Hey, a regular season championship won by the women's soccer program. Men's soccer dropped a heartbreaker over there at Faulkner and ended up not getting the result they needed from Life and Dalton State on Sunday. So they end up in the second place finish, but still will host a quarterfinal coming up later this week. But some more kudos to hand out to our first guest on the show today, Josh. And that's somebody who you're going to get to cover a lot of their games. That is Coach Jessica Garriga of women's basketball. Coach, congratulations on not just the first win of your head coaching career, but two of them.
Thank you. Thank you. Feels good. I think that first one always feels like the toughest one.
You know, Coach, we were kind of talking about where we were going to go with the show today, and I said, you know, we don't get to do this very often at William Carey, to be talking about first wins for head coaches. It's not something that we get to do every other year at William Carey. Our coaches stay for years upon years and decades, and so, you know, to get in there and now be a part of this really special head coaching group, was it surreal when you went into the locker room after that first game with the first W in the book, knowing, you know, just what that meant for you personally and what that meant for the team to be 1-0?
It's real exciting. You know, I told them before the game, just because this early in the season and playing Ava Maria, they had a new head coach, new assistant coach, and pretty much a whole new roster. I said, look, we don't know a whole lot about them, but what I do know is a lot about this team and the confidence that I have in these girls and the players and the work that they do before we show up for the game. So it's exciting just to speak that confidence into them and then to go out there and see them compete and just fight and battle it out. That Ava Maria game was pretty physical. I mean, they put a lot of full court pressure on us. They pressured us the whole entire game. And so, I mean, it kind of forces not to shoot the ball very well in times, because I think they sped us up a little bit, but we were still able to do what we do, and that's play good defense, rebound the basketball, and make plays. So I was really excited about it and proud for the girls.
You know, just looking at final scores, it doesn't really tell the whole picture of how these games went, especially that first one against Ave Maria, because they had y'all down to just a 5-point lead there in the second half before y'all eventually pulled away pretty dramatically out to a 17-point victory there in game number one. But, man, you talk about the confidence this team has. It's worth its weight in gold when you look at that second matchup with Montreaties. Y'all defeat them by 30 points, 84-54. What was a big – I know you said the first game's always the hardest, but did it feel like that confidence from game one really transitioned into game two?
I think so. You know, I think the first four turnovers of the Ava Maria game were, like, on us. They didn't force them. We just kind of – it's nerves, first game of the season, that kind of thing. And so I think moving into the next game, we were able to take care of the ball a little bit better. We did shoot the ball a little better. So I think that helped some. You see a little bit of that early season stuff. We also have kids that are coming in and playing minutes. I really haven't seen a lot of minutes. You know, we have our core group, which we've talked about multiple times, and they're pretty solid for us. But I was able to work in some of these other kids, trying to just get them some experience. And we saw some good looks there. So hopefully it'll be a growing process to just continually build confidence along the way.
Coach, that's exactly where I was going with my next question. In particular, in that Ave Maria game, 39 minutes for Scherer, 38 for Corpus, 34 for Garriga, 32 for Sutton, 19 for Ladner. So that was a, you know, first game of the year, like you said, against an unknown in a lot of ways. You went with that experience, but where do you see that 6, 7, 8, 9 type spots on the depth chart, if you will, filling out as your rotations are starting to round into form?
So, you know, Daidre is a good fit for us coming in off the bench for the post, and then we've been looking at Mia some when we need to go athletic, and then for the guard, Brooklyn came in and has done a good job there. Bailey Duvall saw some good minutes in the Montreat game in which she came in and helped a little bit. So looking at those, Alyssa, she's a freshman. She's still really young, but she plays the backup point guard a little bit. The Ave Maria game, it was a fast-paced, full-court pressure defense. So even though we pulled out at different phases, it never felt comfortable. So I did have to just kind of hang tight and go with my experience. But in the Montreat game, I tried to work in some other people just to kind of see. And I'm still looking at rotations and lineups. And then there's Anna Rose, too, get her in. I know the things that she has strengths and weaknesses that we've talked about. But just really trying to see how all that kind of meshes together. So there's some unknowns there, but there's some good options.
Aside from the youth standpoint, some of the young players, some of those freshmen and so forth, I want to go back to Mia Doyle. You know, Mia is that player who she's academically strong. She's got a $1 million smile. She really likes the game of basketball. But is the light bulb starting to go off for her that she has an opportunity, because she's such a great athlete, to be really, really good on the floor?
I've talked to Mia about that. I mean, opportunity is big for her because of her athleticism, because of the way she thinks the game. I mean, she can come in sometimes and look like $1 million. And then other times she's just not, you know, fully checked in. So I've talked to her about her word, and I said, Mia, if you can find some consistency, you have a big place in what we do. And so we've been really just working towards gearing her towards that, and hopefully we could see that in the long run, because you're right, she has a golden opportunity.
Now I'm going to change one consonant sound from Mia to talking about Leah Sutton, a player that's a veteran in her own right, but is really starting to become a cemented figure on the floor in long spurts for your team. Obviously, losing players like Rose Warren last year, and amongst others that were big goal scorers. I'm talking soccer. Big point scorers for you. Leah's really had to kind of step up in that role, and so far she's doing a bang-up job, double digits in both games so far.
Yeah, I have a lot of confidence in Leah. She's a consistent kid. I trust Leah to make right plays. If it's her needs to score the ball, she'll score the ball. If she needs to make that next pass or the one more, or to get as a rebound, or to help take the ball at the court, sometimes I have to ask her to play point guard sometimes. Leah's just pretty consistent and reliable in doing whatever needs to be done. And so I'm able to really trust Leah out there to get the job done. And she stepped up in that. So I'm excited about that. Hopefully, if she continues on like this, Leah can be an all-conference player for us.
Coach, just about 90 seconds or so left here with you here tonight. Another thought that I have for you is, what was your biggest revelation coming out of the weekend? Was there something that you were looking for, hoping for perhaps, that you came away with maybe an answer or two after this Faulkner Classic?
Yeah, you know, I need to think big picture. Like, I come out of this and I see things we need to work on. Of course, it's early in the season, and I just like, oh, we need to do this, or this isn't where it needs to be. And I kind of find myself seeking perfection. And at the end of the day, it is the goal. But then I also have to remind myself, it's game two. We're a week earlier than we've ever started playing. Like, there's some really great things that I need to build on. And yes, there's some things we can chip away, but I'm not going to solve all the puzzle in one moment. And also, you know, the end game is to have us peaking at the right time. So just trying to be mindful of that and celebrate the things that we're successful in, and then always still just target that growth, you know.
All right, Coach, just about 30 seconds left. Sum it up for us. What are you looking forward to most with the first home matchup of the year coming up tomorrow night?
I'm excited. I just want us to show up and compete every night and put a product on the floor that our fans and community, the university's proud of.
I say tomorrow night. I meant November 4th, a different Tuesday coming up. But still, Dillard University coming up next. The next game out going to be in Hattiesburg at 5 o'clock start. Coach, looking forward to that one and looking forward to the Crusaders the rest of the way.
Yes, sir.
All right. That is Coach Jessica Garriga of women's basketball joining us here on Crusader Talk. Josh, I'm excited. Excited for you, excited for her, and excited for this women's basketball program.
And I think you touched on at the beginning of that segment and the fact that the culture that has been instilled, winning and winning at a high level and winning championships, is now the expectations. You couldn't say that year in and year out in women's basketball. That was always the goal. Tracy was pushing for that. And ever since the last handful of years, kind of pandemic forward, they finally were able to get it done. The recruiting maintained success. Just the overall elevation of this athletic program really spilled into women's basketball. It was huge. And that's carrying over.
Yeah. Now, while I put the cart before the horse on when women's basketball will be back in action, men's basketball is playing tomorrow night with Southeastern Baptist College coming into town. That game going to be over at Clinton Gym. Hope you'll be out there for that. Josh will be. And we got a full recap of men's basketball and a whole lot more coming up as you listen to Crusader Talk.
Talking everything William Carey University Athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, mentioned at the top of the show, it's all about kudos today. And kudos also go out to men's basketball as they get two wins over there in the Faulkner Classic with a 94-85 win over Talladega. Never an easy team to play. And then Fisk University, they get the win 83-65 over the Bulldogs. And so hats off to Coach Knight's team. They have Southeastern Baptist College coming into town on Tuesday night, tomorrow night. That game will start at 7 o'clock and be right there at Clinton Gym.
If you like offense, Southeast Baptist gave up 110 to Jones College.
And if you have a friend that is 10th in line on the bench for William Carey, this might be your best opportunity to see him score.
That is also true.
And that's no shade on Southeastern Baptist College. There have been some close matchups over the years.
And they've picked up some kids from Heidelberg and some different things like that. But it's early. It's early. They've got to try to figure it out as well. So not easy for them to jump out there and play Jones College and then come over to William Carey.
Yeah, not at all. All right, buried lead on this segment because we are headlining this one with the man who has come through yet again for another conference championship for William Carey, and that is women's soccer coach Danny Owens. By the way, happy birthday, Coach.
Thank you very much. Yep, I think I'm like 32 now, so
man,
I'm feeling good and young.
I'm catching up to you. I never thought this day would come. No, but thanks so much for joining us here on a special night for you and a special week as Carey is crowned as the SSAC regular season champions. Didn't even have to play the full schedule to finally get that mark on your resume because that 4-1 win over Faulkner back on Thursday was what sealed the deal for the outright championship and even still got the 2-0 victory over Point University there on Saturday. But, Coach, all these accolades are great and all, but I know you've always got yourself with goals set higher than that. But this is just one little paving stone in the road to the even bigger championship. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, the regular season's our first goal. We want to win the regular season and we did that, and so now we're into postseason play, and conference tournament starts on Thursday, so kind of gearing up for that here.
Coach, for me, I think all the way back to the beginning of the season, fall camp, if you will, and that this was a program that was doing it a little bit different in terms of the way you train this year, to be fresh, to just be able to – I guess take unnecessary reps off of their legs prior to the start of the season to be able to be at peak performance and really kind of look at the analytics of all of that. And, so far it seemed to have really paid off.
Yeah, it has. We're fairly fresh right now. We don't have any injuries. We had the one, kind of the freak one in September with Kayla, but Yeah, I mean, we have a full squad. We feel good. I think we have two girls that on Saturday just kind of got a wrap on their ankle just for protection, nothing really serious. So, yeah, it was a different preseason. I'll tell you, you know, from where we've grown from August to where we are now has been tremendous. You know, I don't think we were very good in August, and now I think we're playing really well and playing some nice stuff and winning games. So it's been kind of fun to watch them grow as a team over these last 2 months or so.
You know, it's almost like I compare it to, you know, marinating a good steak. You know, it takes a little while for all those flavors to just spend some time together, all right there, to finally make one great product there at the end. And slowly but surely, this team has just made this group work together. The players have gotten more acquainted with one another. They know each other's tendencies better. And Clayton and I pointed it out about, you know, six matches back, or give or take, but they have started figuring out the 1-2 touch passing. They've figured out how to get, you know, some lanes open. Sometimes it's, you know, harder than others, but nevertheless, your team has put together a great streak of 13 games in a row now, 16-1 overall, and it really feels like this team is getting to where they're not peaking quite yet.
No. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, we had some new players coming into our system and how we want to play. And, you know, the old players had to learn the new players. I was even coaching on Saturday of, hey, this is what we want to do first, then we do this second. So, you know, we're still learning and still coaching and trying to get better. But, yeah, I mean, you know, we've been able to adjust. We kind of changed the starting lineup on Thursday, and then we're able to change the starting lineup again on Saturday. So I think our depth is where we want it to be, you know, and like just, you know, kind of mid season, maybe six games ago, Nanico started for us and she's kind of filled that role, and we've adjusted Allie into the midfield. And then on Saturday we put her up front and gave somebody else a look. So we've been able to kind of tweak and toy, and we're still trying to do so and try to find that right balance. And then bringing players off the bench and making an impact off the bench and keeping the level the same, if not better, when we sub. That was something that I really put an emphasis on late September, October, was as we really had to develop, you know, the bench and have everybody kind of on the same, you know, same cylinders we're going. So I think we've done a good job of that. So, you know, from top to bottom, we're really pleased with the team and our players and what we have going forward.
He's Danny Owens. He's the head coach of William Carey Women's Soccer. As you heard us talking about, 16-1, winners of 13 matches in a row. And, you know, Coach, I'm looking back over the schedule. I'm looking back at these results. And, you know, you throw out ABAC, you throw out Blue Mountain Christian, look at the rest of that snapshot. And the question I have for you is this, and want to make you think a little bit. If there was a match that was a representative of this team, of what you wanted them to be and what they're capable of, do you have a match that sticks out in your mind of, you know, this was most like what we want to be when it matters most down the stretch?
Yeah, I think the combination of the Tennessee Southern and life games, I thought we were playing at a really fast and high level against Tennessee Southern, and that's a team we've lost to in the national championship. We seem to play every year in a conference final, and so I thought that was a game that really identified what we wanted to do going forward. And we're really, like, on the front foot, continue to run at them, continue to attack, and really never let off that game. And then I think the life game was a game that we had to battle, and maybe we didn't have that success in what we wanted to do going forward because they're such a good team. But you know, we got the second goal, and that last 25 minutes just turned into a dogfight, and when we were just fighting and battling and really doing whatever we had to do. So I think if we can combine those two pieces together and, you know, be real attacking and on the front foot and then be able to grit and grind and just battle and kind of do – I kind of told the group we did whatever we had to do to win that game, you know, when we had that lead. And And so I thought those two games were the games that, like, all right, this team has some good qualities, and if we can learn from that and continue on, we're going to be okay moving forward.
See, I thought you were going to say A-back. You know, we wouldn't mind scoring 25 every match.
We wouldn't, but.
a little unrealistic, but nevertheless. Yeah. Hey, Coach, you know, one of the big things that it has been just the calling card of a William Carey women's soccer team is the ability to possess long. And when I look at the 2-0 finish against Point, I kind of look somewhat worried just at, you know, what I've known to see from William Carey from a scoring perspective. But when I look at how it all happened, you score two goals within the first 17 minutes, and then you just continue to possess, pass around, and Point only gets one shot off the entire match, and that was later on in the second half. So even though it's 2-0, it's still a game in which Carey seemed to control the entire time.
Yeah, and I feel like that's been the last few games. If you kind of look at the stats, we've come out early, we've taken our chances, and we've gotten the lead in the second half. Maybe we haven't scored, but still, Ryan and I were talking about this today in the office. We were still playing well. Like, I mean, I told the girls at halftime, so if we would have scored some of the chances that we created, I mean, they would have been like top 10 goals ever. I mean, we're creating really good chances. We created really good chances, but I think sometimes when you have so much of the ball, we pin teams back, and so we just keep moving it and we keep passing, and we talked about trying to go left and right, kind of trying to move them, because, I mean, I told Sean one time, I said, count the numbers in the box. They had eight players defending inside their 18, so you know, sometimes the strength of ours is in the way we play and keep the ball is a not a weakness, but it's a struggle because we pin teams back and they're so deep in their box defending, it's hard to break down eight people inside the box and score goals. So, but yeah, I mean, I thought we played really well. I told the girls the Faulkner and the Point game, we played well. We created some really good chances. Keeper made a really good save. We'd hit the post. We just missed. So they just weren't falling for us, but I was not disappointed in how we played because I thought we played good in both of those games over the weekend.
Yeah, 12 saves is pretty impressive from a Point perspective. But, Coach, coming up next, you get to face a familiar foe in Faulkner. You just beat 4-1 on Thursday. Best of luck to you coming up at 1 o'clock this week on Thursday for that conference quarterfinal.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Coach. Danny Owens, head women's soccer coach at William Carey, joining us here on Crusader Talk as they win the regular season SSAC title and are looking to try to get the conference tournament title as well. And all of that just marches us right on into the NAIA National Championship race. So that will be what's ahead for them. Up next for us, a continuation of looking back at the week and looking ahead here on Crusader Talk.
From the coaches to the student athletes and the fans that cheer them on, you're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Where to go, where to go? So much to talk about, so little time. Just got done talking with Danny Owens of women's soccer and Air SSAC regular season title. How many is that now for Coach Owens? I've lost count. I don't think I have enough time to even pull it up.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. We'll just leave it there.
And I can't remember the last time we were pulling for a result so much in conference from another school as we were this weekend to try to get the boys, burying the boys over the hump.
The boys. Man, you bring up a good point because I made this in our text group about if you would have asked me even just 1 year ago, that I would be on Sunday watching NAIA soccer that did not involve William Carey directly at all. And that was just my choice. And I sat and watched about 70% of a match. I would have not believed you. But knowing what was at hand as far as seeding and the conference tournament and a possible regular season title, I was invested. And if you're unfamiliar with what we're talking about, last week for men's soccer, they drop a heartbreaker to Faulkner 2-1 over in Montgomery. First loss in 11 matches to the Eagles. And They celebrated that one, did Faulkner, but that dropped Cary down as far as points. Got no points for that one in the conference rankings and really needed to win out to secure themselves as the regular season title holders. After they dropped that one, they went over .5 nothing and then had to wait for the results of Life and Dalton State on Sunday. And these were the two results that were on the table for William Cary to benefit. With a draw between Life and Dalton, then William Cary and Life would have an even number of points. Cary would have the tiebreaker because of the head-to-head. Or if Dalton would have just won, then Cary would have gotten the title outright. No tiebreakers, no nothing, just would have had more points. Nevertheless, Life was able to get that win on Sunday, 1-0. And that means that Life is the regular season title holder and Cary is the 2 seed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. Because I was thinking back as you were kind of recapping the weekend, we, for the last 21 minutes or whatever it was of that match, were living and dying on every swing of the leg towards goal. And how many tremendous saves did Faulkner's keeper have to end that match?
Ferreira had, on record, 10 saves. It felt like 15.
And especially about, it felt like half of those 10 were in the last, you know, 15 minutes
of that match. A very tough opportunity or a tough spot with Cary, just basically with guerrilla warfare. Anytime they get in the box, they're shooting it. And they're shooting it on target, and he's hard. Just right there.
Yeah. And, I mean, full steam ahead. Missiles.
Yeah. And so hats off. Ferreira had the game of his life. Most saves he's ever had in his career at Faulkner. And it came up in a huge game for them.
How many times have we endured that over the last – how many years?
I could tell you it happened with Point in women's soccer on Saturday.
Right. You know, so-and-so had the game of their life. You know, a couple of years ago in the national championship, so-and-so had the game of her life in goal. We've seen quite a bit of that.
Yeah.
Now, you got to put yourself in that position. Hats off to both programs for doing that. But, oh, my goodness, you know, we've just been waiting to break through that glass ceiling again, haven't we?
Yeah. And so with that, Faulkner is now the third team in the SSAC standings as we approach tournament time. So with that, because of William Cary dropping the game against Faulkner and then finishing as the 2 seed, they are going to square off against Thomas on Thursday afternoon at roughly 4 o'clock, 4, 4:30, somewhere in that neighborhood, depending on what time the women's match finishes. And then it sets up a possible quarterfinal with the winner of UT Southern and Dalton State, if you can imagine that. Dalton State finishes in a tie for 5th place. Hard to believe that that is where we stand, given that Dalton was the defending national champions coming out of last year. So, going to be interesting. I think I like our chances better with Tennessee Southern maybe than with, you know, Faulkner Mobile again. Or maybe I've got it reversed. No, it's Faulkner Mobile.
Yeah, I like
that matchup with us.
Right, and I like the opportunity to get a rematch with Faulkner coming off that career day for the goalie. I want to see him do it twice.
Yeah. I would say it's at a neutral site, but no, it's in Montgomery, Alabama.
But I still give it. The guys want that opportunity again to get that do-over.
Or you could face Mobile in case the Rams get an upset win over Faulkner. Who knows? Yeah, that could be a tight battle. I didn't see what their score was in the regular season, but nevertheless, likely to be an entertaining conference tournament. But it all begins with the quarterfinals hosted on the campuses of the higher seeds. And with that, William Cary is the number 2 seed, hosting number 7, Thomas. Elsewhere, mentioned Faulkner hosts Mobile. Tennessee Southern will host Dalton State and Life, the number 1 seed, hosting Blue Mountain over Marietta.
One of the deeper men's sides of the tournament in quite a while. When you think of the improvement of UT Southern, when you think of what Mobile's been in recent years and where Dalton, obviously, the defending national champs being the 5 seed, it really speaks well to the health of that men's soccer league.
It does. A very good league. Now, I want to pivot here because we have talked soccer, we've talked basketball. We haven't talked about the team that had a terrific week against all odds.
Did they ever?
Women's volleyball. Coach Rhonda Shirley and her team have been decimated with injuries and just different personnel that have been out for this number of games and then back, some playing at 60% health but still wanted to finish out the regular season and on into the conference tournament. And dang it, if they don't get two huge conference wins over the weekend.
2 5-set wins, you know, which is
that's incredible. That's grueling.
And then to come back on Saturday to be getting – there was a stretch in the match against Tennessee Southern on senior day. So it was senior day for Evelyn Arujo, for Katarina Vulich, Kat, and then Natalie Bartholomew, or Nat. So Kat and Nat sound like a Dr. Seuss book, we know. And so, and it was their senior day, and they're getting absolutely run out of the gym. It was close early, like 6 ties, a couple lane changes. Then you lose 25-15, and then you're down 7-0 to start the second set. And Carey used a 6-0 run in the – well, I'm getting ahead of myself. So you're down 7-0, you lose the first 2 sets. You're actually worse in the second set. You're down big. You take the third set. You're down big in the fourth set. Use a 6-0 run. Take the fourth set and then win it in tiebreak fashion, 17-15 in the winner-take-all fifth set. Needless to say, it was emotional.
Yeah, very emotional indeed. And like Josh, when you were talking in post-game with Nat Bartholomew, you had mentioned that it was a roller coaster of a week. And this is her response in just talking about that and all the rest of how that interview sounded there on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, we've just completely flipped a switch. Like, we're hungry, and you can see it. That's what we've been talking about, like being in line and being hungry. And it's hard to reverse sweep, especially after you go 5 sets the day before. And you can just tell, like, I don't think there's another team in this conference that could work together the way that we do with all the adversities that we face, you know what I mean? Like, Gabby was starting playing six rotations last night. She was struggling a little bit. Jazzy came in, filled her place, you know, and that's what being on a team is all about. And 14-14, I hit the ball out, I blocked it out, and then my teammates were there to pick me up, you know what I mean? So that's really what it's all about. We weren't going to lose this last game on our home court, so.
Talk about that play you made to go up 2 in the fifth set to make it 14-12. It was right over there near the antenna. You were able to find a way. Was it a little bit of a block there late, or was it a point? I just know I made a note of how big it was. That was to go up 2 fifth set late, but I don't know how you did it.
Honestly, I think I blacked out because I don't even remember. I'm just like, see ball go. So that, I have no idea. I think I was just like, ball, floor, please.
Yes, and it so. Did. It one of the most exciting things that I saw, memorable things that I saw today, was Hagart was nearly in tears, or was in tears, happy tears, but she was in happy tears for Vulich, because she wanted it, Agnes wanted it for you and for Evelyn, and also for Kat, and it was just, you know, gave her a big kiss on the cheek. The love that this team has, and you're getting emotional, it is so special. It's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah, and I just love this place so much.
Well, we love you as well. We love you. Happy tears. Go enjoy. This is one of the most memorable days that you'll ever have, so you can add that to your senior day memories.
Yeah.
It's special. We love you, and go enjoy.
Thank you.
So, man.
I should have teared up again. Jeez.
Senior days, man. That's a lot.
The tears were flowing, and then I mentioned it to one of the coaches or the players, and they said, yeah, she was bawling when she came into the locker room, like happy tears. But what was great was when, you know, I've got to kind of release them as quickly as possible so that they can have that final team huddle. And that's when the jumping, and I don't know if the water bottles, I don't know if they're drying off the ceiling after the celebration with, you know, everything like that. But the roar that came out of that locker room, man, the memories they're making. If you've not been to a William Carey volleyball match, you are missing out. If you've not gotten on the volleyball fan bandwagon of how great that sport is when they went to rally scoring a few years ago, it is excellent. Every time the ball goes into play, somebody's scoring a point. That's great theater as a sports fan.
And hey, if you want to relive that, by the way, because of the nuance of the Urban Edge network that Carey now uses, all these matches are on demand, especially the ones that are broadcast by Carey. A majority of the conference is using it, minus just a couple odd ones out there. Not throwing shade, I was just saying there's just a couple teams out there that are not using it. But still, the main platform, the Urban Edge network, you can just about always find William Carey basketball, soccer, volleyball, you name it, baseball is going to be on there, and it's an easy thing to do, to go and watch something live, either on your smart TV, your phone, but also available on demand.
And don't be intimidated by it in your mind of trying to try something new. It's going to be very familiar to any type of online sports streaming platform that you're currently used to. It's going to be very user-friendly.
Yeah, very user-friendly. In fact, there are not as many teams that have adopted it yet, and that's not a knock on the Urban Edge Network. And I feel like basketball is going to prove me wrong. There's going to be a lot of schools using it then. But every time I've gone down there, it's been pretty easy to just sift through and find William Carey. And even if not, if there's some other games that are listed as the featured live ones, you can just search William Carey and or just Carey, and you're going to find it out there. So great volleyball action from this week. Congratulations to Coach Shirley and company. They've got a match in progress right now, as a matter of fact, against Dillard. And they've got three more conference matchups to go, all on the road, though. So if you missed out on William Carey volleyball at the Ben Waddell Sports Facility, you kind of missed out. But you can still cheer them on from afar. Or, hey, maybe even drive down to New Orleans for the matchup against Loyola coming up. So that is what the rest of their season looks like. Up next, it's our fourth and final segment, talking Crusaders of the Week and also a look at the week ahead. A lot of action to get to as William Carey basketball, soccer, volleyball, all in full swing here in that transition part of the year. It's our favorite time of year and a busy season as well. More to come as you listen to Crusader Talk.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, rocking and rolling through our fourth and final segment here on Crusader Talk. Caleb Hamill, Josh West, Dalton Stanford with you here in our Super Talk Hattiesburg studio. Just, it's fun to talk William Carey Athletics, not just because of the people. We always talk about the great people that we get to work with, yes. Great characters that have been around here for a long time, but also winning is fun. Much better than what I experienced this weekend watching Mississippi State football.
Oh, you had to go there.
It's just still too fresh of a wound to shake. It's just like a glaring. It's not even a scab at this point. My arm is just cut off. I'm down to one arm.
Wow. Yeah, no. And that was tough to watch Arch Manning go down late. Just because you hate to see anybody get injured. You want it to be good on good all the way.
I have a feeling he's going to be fine. We'll see.
He better be if they're going to beat Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
When have you ever said that? You better be at full strength if you're going to beat Vandy.
The backup quarterback hit the game-winning touchdown. I think he's decent, too.
The catch was better.
The catch was better. Controversial for some, but it was a catch. Slowed it down on replay. It was a catch. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Tuning in to volleyball, by the way, just taking a peek over there. Obviously, if you're listening to this in podcast form, you could already know the result. But after two sets, Carey leads 2-0 and are coming back in the third set, just down by 3 points right now as we watch. And if you're listening live, you can go home on your TV, watch it on the Urban Edge Network. It's available there, too, even on the road. And a pretty good broadcast, I might say, for Dillard as well. Good camera work. All right, so talking about this week in William Carey Athletics, we've kind of in spurts given it to you already, but just to give you the full rundown, if you are interested in taking in some action this week, obviously tomorrow night's first home game of the season for men's basketball. Coach Knight and company will be taking on Southeastern Baptist College. 7 o'clock tip-off at Clinton Gymnasium. Get there, enjoy it. It's one of those fun games where you get to see a lot of people out there on the floor, a lot of local flair, too, if you're from the Jones County or Jasper County area. A lot of people from there playing on the Southeastern Baptist side, and then obviously Carey with some products as well. But a good opportunity to watch some fun basketball if you're a Crusader fan.
I was just thinking about there will be some ill-advised shots taken tomorrow night.
Yeah.
We actually play better against Southeast Baptist in Laurel, because the dynamics are different. You're kind of on the road. It's kind of you against the world, and it's the Southeast Baptist fans. It's a smaller venue. Carey's going to put the fans in there, and the Carey team's going to want to play to our fans. Sometimes that's good, and sometimes it's not. And so I think we won by 50 or something over in Laurel last year.
Did you go to Laurel for that one?
I did. Went to Laurel for that one.
I never got to because I think they were still renovating the gym, or maybe we just didn't book a home and home with them. But I had heard legends of that court. And
they expanded the court.
Yes, they finally did, to where it's actually regulation size. Because there was a time where if you were in the corner trying to spot up a three, you had to be a size 6 shoe.
Correct.
So that was always the story of old, that you couldn't shoot a three in the corner over at Southeastern Baptist. But now you can. You can. They renovated, and they've got that place going a little bit better now. That said, that will be, again, 7 o'clock at William Carey tomorrow night or Tuesday night as you listen. Also, upcoming this week, big set of 2 soccer matches, the final guaranteed home games of the year. We think there's going to be 2 more if we had to guess from a national tournament perspective. But you have William Carey women's soccer during the daytime, both of these during the day. 1 o'clock afternoon matchup with Faulkner. Catch that over at Danny Owens Field on Thursday. And then following that one at 4 o'clock, the men's match with Thomas University. You get a little precursor to Halloween. You don't have to worry about combating the trick-or-treaters or thinking about leaving the candy bowl out because it's Thursday night, not a Friday night. Don't have anything to worry about there. So come on out. 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock for those two, women's soccer against Faulkner and then men's soccer against Thomas. And then over the weekend, volleyball will be on the road at Loyola, 6 o'clock start time over there in New Orleans. If you've never been over there before, I believe it's in the same venue as basketball, on top of the parking garage where the student workout facilities are and all that. Your GPS will be so confused, but if you just kind of look around for that landmark, you'll be able to just cruise up in there in your vehicle, ride the elevator up, and then march on in for a nice volleyball match.
It was great memories last year when women's basketball went over there and clinched that undefeated regular season. What a way to end that season when we hit all of those threes and that flurry at the end of that match. So, yeah, great place, great venue. Hope they get one. It's amazing that volleyball right now could get their 18th win of the season tonight, but also right now sitting in a tie for 2nd in the league. Yeah. Incredible.
All right, before we run out of time, Crusaders of the Week. From a men's perspective, Troy Dunn from men's basketball, 31 points, 6 rebounds, and 62.5% shooting through 2 games over the week. And then on the volleyball side, pretty good week for William Carey. And how do you say her now? I'm trying to remember off the top of my head.
Maureen
Reyes. 36 kills, 44 assists, and 31 digs, 2 triple-doubles in those 2 matches this week.
And we – long story, inside joke of pronunciations, but Maureen, spelled M-A-U-R-I-N, what would be her nickname of her first syllable? It's Mao. Her nickname is Mao. Everybody calls her Mao. You heard all the different nicknames, right? Gabby and it's Cat, Nat, and all those different names.
Oh, yeah.
Jazzy L.
Well, every single sport Talamo has it, man. Clayton and I talk about it in soccer that all the boys and the women's team as well, they have a 1 to 2 syllable nickname so that the coaches can quickly yell it from across the court, the pitch, whatever, so that they can be heard. So they come up with these crazy nicknames like Spanky in men's basketball.
There you go.
All right. Well, that'll do it for us on Crusader Talk. Thanks so much to Coach Owens and Coach Garriga joining us earlier. For Dalton and Josh, I'm Caleb saying goodnight. God bless and go Saders.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.